Northumbria, St Hilda's Turf, as well as St Cuthbert's, two well-known figures even in the literary world, as Sir Walter Scott well knew, when, in Marmion, he linked them to beads found on the shores of Lindisfarne, known as Cuthbert or Cuddy beads.
But fain St. Hilda's nuns would learn if on a rock by Lindisfarne St. Cuthbert sits and toils to frame the sea-born beads that bear his name. Such tales had Whitby's fishers told, and said they might his shape behold and hear his anvil sound, a deadened clang, a huge dim form seen but and heard when gathering storm and night were closing round. But this, a tale of idle fame, the nuns of Lindisfarne disclaim.
Well, having spoken of these beads that we find on the shores of Lindisfarne, not only must I mention the stunning Lindisfarne Gospels in this holy island, which at the time of St. Cuthbert was a great centre of learning, but I must mention the venerable Bede who wrote his history of the English church and people there. To find out more about these two Northumbrian saints and how Christianity reached here from Ireland in a rather roundabout way, I'd like you to join me as I speak to someone who's involved in the church there in a special way. His name, Father John Marsland.
Christianity came over from Ireland to Iona in Scotland, and then from Iona to Lindisfarne. So it does have a rich history. St. Cuthbert, just deeply spiritual man and connected to God in a special way. He was a reluctant bishop. he dragged away from his monastery.
Reluctant bishop, that's quite a description.
Well, he was there on his island, communing with nature and with God, and they persuaded him to become a bishop, which he did for a short time. I think Bede, I would pinpoint the comprehensive character of his interests and writings. We hear a lot about his history, but he was also, an astronomer, mathematician. His interests spread into all sorts of fields, and which was, I think, a characteristic of the monastic tradition. I think that is of particular significance for people.
I first met Father John when he was vice-rector at the Venerable English College here in Rome, a seminary where young men from England and Wales received training for the priesthood. A place especially familiar to him, long before he'd taken on the job, as he himself had studied there as a young man, making that leap to Rome from Burnley in Lancashire, where he grew up as a Catholic.
On our street, we were the only Catholic family. The other lads and girls used to refer to it frequently, especially when we were going to do something that was maybe not according to the rules, like going into the park, where we weren't allowed to go. So we'd say, oh, we can't go in the park. My mum says we can't go. And they say, oh, that's because you're a Catholic. Why they made that connection? I think the Catholics were seen as people who, they went to church on Sunday and they sort of were more likely to respect the rules, as it were, compared to, I suppose, Italy, where Catholics are in majority. It does give a different perspective, a different feel to be a Catholic in England. in that you do have this history of being a minority. That has a strength in that it's not taken for granted so much. You know, that you meet people who aren't Catholics. That puts a bit more, if you like, the spotlight on them.
You mentioned the fact that that gives you strength. What do you mean by that?
I think it makes you feel sort of special.
Today, Father John is back to his old job, this time no longer vice-rector of a seminary in Rome, but president of a seminary in Northumbria. It's Ushaw College, near Durham, a large, sprawling building dedicated in part to the training of young men from across the north of England, one which, given England's history of persecution of Catholics, wasn't always located in Northumbria. But right across the channel, it was 1568, and Queen Elizabeth, who'd outlawed traditional Catholic religion, reigned over England.
I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right. Maybe you can pronounce it for me. It's called Ushaw?
Ushaw.
Ushaw.
Ushaw College.
Yeah. Ushaw College. It has a long history. You know, it started in France, obviously, because of persecution.
We say Douai, but I think the French say Douai.
Yes, and then in the 1800s...
In the early 1800s, it transferred to two places in England, really, to St. Edmund's Ware, which has now become Allen Hall.
In London.
In London, and to Ushaw, about 4 or 5 miles west of Durham City.
So you're rector of the seminary there, or you're the president?
My official title is president.
Which means that you're the rector?
Which means I'm the rector of the seminary. Oh.
And how many seminarians do you have?
At the moment, we have 25. They come from the Diocese of the North of England.
So it's a big seminary?
Well, it's... Building-wise, it's huge.
I know the building is huge. But, I mean, 25 seminarians in a seminary today, at a time when there are few vocations, is quite a lot, isn't it?
Yes, it's a good number.
It's a good number.
We'd like more. but that is spread over 8 dioceses.
Tell me, who are the seminarians? What is their average age when they enter the seminary?
The majority would be mid-20s, I suppose. We do have one or two who are older, 40, and we have one who's about 50. But the majority would be in their mid-20s. They would be coming to us after university, or some of them after being involved in the world of work.
So what does your job entail there?
My job as president or rector of the seminary is to oversee their formation.
Apart from the intellectual, spiritual formation, do they have a pastoral formation?
It's very much integrated into their degree programme, which is something unique, really. So as part of their B, it's called a BATM, TM being theology and ministry. And so the ministry part of it is very much their pastoral placements. So as soon as they arrive, in their first year, they start every week, they have a pastoral placement. It could be in a school, secondary school, primary school. It could be in a hospital, could be in prison, could be in a care home, some form of pastoral experience. Then in their fourth year, they do a six-month placement in a parish back in their diocese. So they go back to their diocese in the north of England and they spend 6 months in a parish. And that placement is supervised by the parish priest, also by the pastoral staff in the college, who visit them and help them to evaluate their experience. Every summer, they also have a month's pastoral placement in a parish.
They're all English, are they, or do you have foreign...
No, they're...
All English.
At present, they're all English.
Being curious, I asked Father Marsland if the mechanisms regarding selection of candidates to the priesthood had in any way changed since his day.
The approach to it has changed. I would say at one time, if you wanted to be a priest, you went to the seminary. The seminary would decide whether you were suitable or not. The selection was done in the seminary. And now there's far more selection done before young men come to the seminary. For example, we have 3 weekends a year called Discernment Weekends, where young men can come, spend the weekend in the seminary, and it helps them to reflect on whether they would like to put themselves forward to become a priest. Then they come to what we call a selection advisory committee.
Is that something you do yourself?
You run it, yeah, at the Ushaw. We have a panel of people who interview. These are young men who put themselves forward, if you like, seriously, to the diocese and said yes, and the diocese has accepted them, or provisionally. And they come to us for a weekend and they're interviewed, and then in the light of that, then the bishop decides whether to send them to seminary or not. Then they could do a whole year, a preparation year, at, for example, the English College in Valladolid, which is now set up...
In Spain.
In Spain, yeah, which is now set up to do a proper duty year, a year of preparation. So then they would come to us. So you can see, before arriving at seminary, they've gone through quite an extensive process.
That avoids a lot of pain.
It's one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why there are fewer people in seminaries, is there's a lot more process goes on beforehand.
And once they get to the seminary, are there a lot of people who drop out along the way? Or?
No.
Because there used to be, no? There used to be more people.
I suppose there were, probably. I'd say the actual percentage is less now of those who come and then drop out. It's still a possibility, you know, they're free all the way through, keep on discerning whether this is the right vocation for them.
Will they be aware that Pope Benedict is coming to England?
Oh, yeah, very much, because we did put a proposal in that he come to Durham, but unfortunately he didn't have time.
And my thanks there to Father John Marsland, president of Ushaw College, near Durham in Northumbria. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.